Hi, this is Georgie.
Hey, guys. This is Cole Leicher.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Good evening, everybody. I hope people are listening, but then again, I hope people have lives and they're not sitting around on a Friday night. Though I know some people are, and we're not thinking negatively of you because, well, we're here doing this as well. This is the Unused Substitutes, normally on Wednesday, but this week on Friday, and a lot of fun and interesting things to talk about this week. Not just the green and gold gospel, but a big part of it. Dan, how you doing?
I'm good.
You survived
from last night and drinking some beer.
I thought you were supposed to be drinking champagne.
I thought
you were supposed to be drinking one bottle for every goal.
No, that was the final. That was for the final.
Oh, okay.
I thought about champagne, but is really celebrating a home playoff game champagne worthy? I think a six pack of beer worthy.
is celebrating, it's just a win over the little kiddies of Orlando City.
Maybe it's great.
Maybe some steel reserve.
Game, and I'm glad we have a home playoff game, but results aren't settled. And if we get second place, maybe I'll celebrate tomorrow night with a bottle of champagne while watching the results roll in.
There you go.
Let's get to maybe if we get second place on next Wednesday on Wednesday's show, I will drink a bottle of champagne for you guys.
All right. So we didn't do a show Wednesday because you had some life things come up, as it happens to all of us. Honestly, it was good because I needed to get some stuff graded anyway. So I secretly appreciate it. And then we couldn't do Thursday, obviously, because Rowdy's road trip, late week road trip to Orlando, which you went on. I was going to. I had a ticket, and I had more like work things come up. Basically, I had committed to something else previously, and my boss was very excited about me going to that. So I went to that instead. But to make up for it, I wore Rowdy's gear while I was at USF last night. So that was about as green and gold as you can get, I think. So I'm going to call that good enough, and we won.
Yeah, we did. It was fun. It's Orlando. I mean, this is my first trip to the new stadium. I liked it. I like the stadium, even though it's all decked out in purple. But it was good. Obviously, the result was exactly everything we wanted and more. So it was fun. It was a good night.
Speaking of things decked out in purple, I'm not wearing any pants. That's how excited I was about the result.
I'm glad we're not doing video tonight.
That's another reason. But also, my undergarments are purple because that's the area where purple belongs.
I don't know how to continue from here.
You hate when I do these things to you and we don't like arrange it ahead of time and talk about it, don't you?
I would like to note that we don't arrange you not wearing pants ahead of time or ever.
That's what you think. There's a reason why the camera points up. I mean, let's be honest here when we do the video.
As long as it's the only thing pointing up. Can we move on?
Yeah, I know with you the champagne bottle was pointing down, so last week, so it's a counterpoint. But Where I was going with this originally before is we swerve as we tend to do. We actually got two games, and I think we're going to do the same thing we did last week when we talked about two games. The original one, San Antonio, Rowdies went to San Antonio and got a draw. Road point on the road, cool. Managed to score on Diego Restrepo. You know, half the games he's played, that hasn't happened, so that's cool. And then a crappy late equalizer. Eh, I'll take it. I don't really have anything else to say about that game.
We could have done better, but I mean, a point on the road in San Antonio against a very good San Antonio team, in the midst of all of this craziness that we've been playing, you know, game after game after game, I'll take it. I mean, it didn't hurt our cause. I mean, it didn't help per se, but it didn't really hurt our cause. A point's a point, take it, move on. And, you know, you pointed it out. The Rowdies pointed it out in their three things. We're the hottest team in the in both conferences, I'd say.
Yeah, I took a look tonight, and I didn't throw it into notes or anything. We are the only team without, and actually I was going to kind of mention that, so thank you for bringing that up. We're the only team right now without any red in our last five games.
And it goes beyond that. It's our last seven.
Yeah, undefeated in seven. And if you go back to look at our last, I went as far back as the last 16, the last half of the regular season. We've dropped three games in the last 16. Everything else was a win or a draw, which, you know, the first half we dropped four, so it doesn't seem like it's that big of a difference. But going back and looking at the games, I'm like, man, we went through a lot of games. You know, something like seven in a row now unbeaten, eight out of nine, and you know we've lost three games since the beginning of July. Like. And yeah, we're the hottest team in the league right now, as far if you just go off current form. Maybe not total points wise, but only unbeaten team in either conference.
I was just talking about looks. Like we're a pretty sexy team.
Well, I mean that's been going on all season. Ever since Vingar got rid of the man bun, that cemented it.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm gonna crack open my beverage here too. Sadly, not a beer, but
a beverage is a beverage. Cracking a cold one with the boys.
I'll take it. So I spent last night. If I couldn't go to the game, I went to the next best place. I spent the night at our lovely sponsors at Seminole Hard Rock, since I had to go to Tampa for something and I needed to cash in that free hotel room that came with the season tickets before the end of the month. I did that last night. That was fun. I was walking around in Rise gear, and all the Hard Rock staff were very friendly when you do that.
I mean, I've only been there. For what, mob Christmas parties? No, I gambled once at the Hard Rock. I never stayed at the hotel, but I've been there for two mob Christmas parties, I believe it was, and I went gambling once because gambling's fun, and I should not be allowed to do that.
Yeah, I did that last night. I went over to the Smoke-Free Casino, and I'm choosing to say that I left $20 up because I left with the last 20 I took out of the ATM instead of giving it away to a slot machine, so... yeah, we won't talk anymore about my attempts to gamble last night because it didn't pay off that well. But it was a good time. I checked in there last night. I didn't do the eating yet. We're supposed to make another trip sometime soon to use that one. But no, that's a cool place. And the rooms are nice. I mean, I know they normally run like $230, $250 a night or something like that. I can generally only afford to go there when I have a free pass, but if I could afford to stay there, that's a decent place to stay. And I had the king room all to myself. It was very nice.
That's good time. I mean, the Rowdies fans basically had Orlando Stadium all to ourselves.
Yeah, I saw it. Like, basically, you know, kind of claimed that on squatter's rights. It would have been fun if instead of just tweeting about the team, Orlando fans could have been bothered to show up. I know it's kind of a painful week with the playoff-bound Rowdies last night, the NWSL final featuring two teams not from Orlando being played there on Saturday, and then the playoff-bound Columbus Crew coming to town on Sunday. But they've lost. They're going to lose their caca. But you know, maybe show up.
I mean, that was the only team there. I mean, well, the Pride lost in the playoffs, but
yeah.
Their senior squad is out of the playoffs. They could have at least, you know, tried to push one of their teams into the playoffs. But a Thursday night's hard. I knew I hate to say this publicly, but I'm friends with a couple Orlando City fans, but they had to work and couldn't get to the game. But it, I was over on that end by in front of the wall,
uh-huh.
In the first half when the Rowdies were attacking that way. and there wasn't a clean chant that they did.
Oh no.
And it, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's not.
It looked like the same, roughly same number of people that were there when I went for the away game earlier this year, and I was in the press box, and you could, you know, hear the not just the chants because they had the TV in there, but not the audio. We could see video. We could hear them through the press box glass, but also the disdain that a lot of the club staff have for those chants and the people behind them, but doesn't seem to affect them at all.
No, it, I mean, I like, for the most part, the stadium and everything else. And I want Orlando City as a club to succeed for the sheer fact that if pro soccer in Florida succeeds, that helps us.
Right.
But I just, there was that, the quote unquote, most of that wall, because, you know, like Jared is an Orlando City fan. I have other friends.
Yeah.
But it's not a supporters group either. Ruckus or ILF are groups I would ever want to be a part of. Like, but that's my personal belief. Do whatever, you know, just be whatever. But it was. I mean, I posted the couple shots I took of Marcel Schaefer taking a corner with just empty purple seats behind him.
Right.
That wasn't warm ups. That was game. That was game time footage.
All right. So Rowdies go there last night to the litter box, and they come out with a 2-0 win. I missed like the entire first half was when I was at this presentation thing at USF. You actually would have enjoyed it. I'll tell you more about it later. But caught the second half via Twitter as I was leaving campus, heading toward picking up my dinner from Portillo's over there. Went to the University Mall one. Sudol was telling me I had to go. It was decent. It was good. And then on the way back to the hotel and just hearing the two bongs from Fop Mob as the goal notifications, made for a fun drive back to the hotel.
I'm pretty pissed with myself that I didn't, get the second goal videoed. I got decent footage of that first goal.
Right, right.
But I didn't get the second one cause I was too busy, like, being a fan for a moment.
Going crazy, go nuts.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was, that sealed. It was squeaky bum time because you knew we were up 1-0. It was late, and their playoff hopes were on the line.
Right.
You knew they were going to start throwing numbers at us, and we've seen this team, especially on the road, kind of break. Not as bend, but break in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ball, you know, Seba got there, and the ball just took a couple weird bounces in his favor. And it was 90 plus, and he was, you could tell the poor guy was gassed.
Yeah, like 93rd.
Yeah, he was, you could tell he was gassed, and he made that run anyway and rounded the keeper and just tapped it home, and everybody went wild. It was neat. I posted the clip last night either on the actual account or mine, I don't remember, of Neil Collins by himself running by in front of the mob and the Rowdy supporters celebrating as he was running back to the center circle. It was, you could tell what it meant to the players, and the traveling fans were absolutely going nuts. It was great. It was a fun time there, and that goal really, I mean, obviously Georgie's header is what, you know, won the game, and which ends up being also Marcel Schaefer's 11th assist of the season, putting
right.
him in second place, but we'll get into that later. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoy road trips. I'm sad we don't have Fort Lauderdale and Jacksonville anymore, but the Orlando one, there's something more special there. Like, I never felt the way, like, a win in Orlando Stadium felt a lot different than anything in Fort Lauderdale or Jacksonville, even though we did beat Fort Lauderdale, but the wins in Fort Lauderdale didn't feel like this for some reason.
Yeah, so now between the two of us, we've both been to wins. At least the show has been to wins at Fort Lauderdale and at Orlando. It's just I guess Miami and then Jacksonville. We have to mark off the list.
Does that mean we can then have a TIFO of like Rowdy Ralph like palming skulls of the other?
Hey, we actually played you. I still like my billboard idea from last night.
We could make Rowdy Ralph like an Ewok and using stormtrooper heads as like the xylophone thing.
Or, anyway. You know, I know it's more, you know, actual reality correct as far as the movie, but it looks like everyone loves the Porgs. Maybe we have to fit the Porgs in there somehow.
Yeah, we can probably figure that out.
My daughter is a giant fan of the Porgs already. All right, so let's talk about Last Night's Game. I watched chunks of it today while I was at work doing work stuff. Good, bad, ugly.
Good. Marcel Schaefer, Georgi Ristov, Seba, Hunter Gorski has been a huge addition to this team. He played well last night. Mm-hmm. Portillo. I mean, it was a good team effort. It got a little weird. The ref was weird, but we played well. We were a little sloppy in the final third, I'd say. But poor Joe. Nothing was falling for Joe Cole. He was putting in his shift, but nothing was falling for him. Right.
Right.
But we played well. A performance that was needed. So I would say overall it's a good team performance. And I'm gonna also do our, you know, put in the traveling fans because there was a good number there.
Yeah, the pictures looked great last night.
Yeah, I mean, the mob or the bus was good. Plenty of people traveled on their own. It was a good time. Everything about that game, pretty much. There was a couple of bad things, but I would say the way we outpossessed them, we played well. That's the kind of thing we're going to need to do for the next couple of weeks if we're going to win the championship.
So I was curious, and maybe you have can shed some light on it. So the bus was split between the first however many fans that signed up, and then members of the business council.
I think it was really just fans. I don't know. Maybe I don't know who's on the Rowdy's council, but right. I knew most of them through being fans in the mob.
I was just curious because I don't think too many of the business council has probably made an away game. And most of the away games we go to, things like places like Fort Lauderdale and Jacksonville, it's always been a good time. I was curious to see how they reacted to what the Orlando experience might be like, you know, being escorted into the stadium and held after the whistle and stuff like that.
We weren't escorted in. Well, actually, we got off the bus and they all walked towards a gate. They might have been escorted in. I had to go through the other side of the stadium into the media entrance.
Right.
So I don't know how they got. I mean, I know from what I heard, a couple of the mob members got held outside because they were doing the F Orlando chant, and the people at Orlando didn't like that, so they had to get a lecture. Oh. Before they were allowed in. Which is ironic on so many levels. But so they probably did have to get escorted in. But we did get escorted out. They took us out.
So how was anything bad from last night?
I hate to do this.
You mentioned
the regular
something
season, but yeah. the officiating was hot. Garbage last night, and I think both sets of fans, no matter if you won or lost, will admit that ref was just bad. I mean, he got a cut, like it was just bad. But it didn't affect the outcome, in my opinion. I think the Rowdies were the better team, they were getting the better chances. And finally, Georgi Ristov, sidetrack here. Can we talk about Georgi Ristov being the guy that just seems to show up in that big moment in the big games?
Absolutely.
I mean, I've been referring to him this for the last couple of weeks, but he's like a talisman for this club at this point. I mean, that Bethlehem Steel game where he wasn't there when we could have clinched, and that game, it was just calling for Georgi Ristov. He's been kind of quiet out on that side, playing that wing.
Uh-huh.
But he's still showing up and he's still getting on the score sheet when needed, and he's just coming up with that play. And him and Marcel, it's fun watching those two interchange, and you get Joe in there, and it's just great. He's just, Georgi is that man. If and when we get to the USL final, you know he's going to score the big goal, right? Like, you know he's going to show up. He's, for any hockey fans in 2004, Georgi Ristov's going to be our Brad Richards. I just feel it.
I was thinking about him actually last night when I went back up to when I was going to the elevator to my hotel room, and the game was over by then. You know, I knew the result was. I knew he had scored that first goal. And I was like, you know, this is a guy. We talk about, you know, how like Savage and Stu are really the only guys who are here left over from the trip to the Soccer Bowl, the win over Minnesota. Georgie comes in the next season. So here's a guy that, you know, you can talk about the guys who are the couple guys that are still here in some capacity. But here's a guy who's been here and done as much as he's done. What, he's 50, well, now 51, I think, career goals. Maybe more, maybe 52 or something like that. 100 appearances. And he's finally going to get to go to the playoffs with Tampa Bay. Like, everything he thought he was probably coming into 4 years ago is finally going to happen.
And he just need to get that man a championship. He's given right. his all for this club at this point. And I know my end of this podcast has been founded on fighting people verbally about Georgie Ristov, saying he's lost a step, he doesn't fit.
I mean, right, that's where we started from.
Right. I mean, you know, go home. Georgie's lazy. But here he is, still coming up big in the big moments this season. I mean, you can definitely, I would say, Marcel Schaefer is the MVP for reasons I've written down here to my right. But Georgie Ristov is just the clutch guy. He's been there at the key moments of this club. And if anybody on this team deserves that championship, it's him.
Just while you were mentioning that, I was doing a little bit of research on the referee, one Jonathan Belinsky. I believe this is his first year doing anything as a referee. And he's done 4 league games, and he was the referee for the Open Cup game as well. Well, now, he started out, he was the second assistant. I guess that's, I'm looking at a soccer way, I think that's a linesman. In the home draw versus Rochester, he was the referee in the win over Harrisburg, gave out 3 yellow cards. He was the 4th official in the win over Charlotte a couple weeks ago, and gave out 4 yellows last night. And yeah, he was the 4th official for the Open Cup game against the Armada U23s also.
So basically, when he's the referee, win.
Yeah, we are unbeaten with him as the referee.
So okay, even if he's doing some, for the rest of the playoffs,
I was just saying, even if he's doing some weird stuff, let's just let's keep getting him signed. He's got to be Florida based because he reffed the Open Cup game with Miami and Cincinnati. He's done, yeah, he did. So he was a game at Red Bull 2 hosting Pittsburgh, but has done 3 Orlando City home games and 3 of our home games. And then, well, actually, 4 Orlando City home games, and then, you know, the last one being last night. So he's got to be kind of locally based. So, good chance we might have him in a playoff game.
Yes. All right, I'll take that.
In some way, shape, or form. Any uglies?
No. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there for Diggles. I was walking from the Orlando City end to the Rowdies fan end at halftime. And, I mean, for having 10 fans, but they had, like, the Rowdies end completely roped off with security there.
Right.
And I was walking up, and I didn't wear Rowdies gear. I was very, you know, just neutral color. I think gray shirt, black shirt, jeans, whatever. You saw there's pictures, whatever.
Right, right.
And I was walking in. And I took my bib off because F that thing.
They tried to give me, when I went to the game, they tried to give me one. And I was like, I'm going to be in the press box. I don't plan on, because I wasn't going to go down there with like my cell phone when there were other like actual photographers there. So I decided not to do that. But yeah, I was like, no, I don't want the bib. No.
But we walked in, or I was walking over, and there was like 2 Orlando City fans trying to get in to the Rowdy side. And maybe there might have been 3, but one was getting mouthy. There's lines on our end of the concession. I just want to go to the concession. And, like, I don't know what was happening before, but, like, it was getting semi out of control because even one security guy was like, you shut your mouth or I'm going to escort you, that, you know, get out of here. And they kept chirping. And he's like, and I'm like, there's no lines. Like, you have 5 people. Like, there's
exactly
probably, honestly, like 200 or 300 people on your end of the stadium. There's no lines.
There's like, more concession workers than there are fans over there.
Yeah, like, but they were trying. I mean, at a game like that, people were still trying. I just, That's it. Ugly is just idiot fans. And that's not a reflection of everybody. I realize it was only three idiots, but come on.
But, I mean, when you consider who was there, which the attendance not even posted on the USL Match Center page, which usually is a sign of it's a really low one. You take three out of that percentage, I mean, that's probably, you know, two-thirds.
Yeah, it was just, you're not wrong. It was, that's it. There was just stupidity. It's something we can do a whole episode about fan culture in this country and how a lot of the Orlando fans are the worst part of it.
Real quick, cause I'm just looking at the stats and stuff, and I didn't watch much of the first half because I knew it was scoreless. And I kind of watched, you know, basically up to Guinzotti's goal. But he subbed off like a minute later, right at the end. Was it an injury thing or just
no.
Killing time?
The funny part about that is Tam was on the sideline waiting to be subbed
in
for a while.
Okay. So like, let him get on for a few seconds, even though it's at the end.
Well, I don't think he was waiting for. I mean, it was a tactical thing to, you know, eat up the extra time,
right?
Guys do,
and throw another defender on.
It stayed in play for a long, like for a bit. So we couldn't make the sub, and then that ball is a favorable bounces for Guinzotti, and he just puts it, saws it home after breaking the keeper's ankles. It was kind of sad. Should have put him down. Then he was like subbed out right after because it was Stu trying to kill that time, and I don't think Stewart expected the second goal, so he was just going to try to reinforce, take the striker out, add another defender. He already put Chavo in for Joe Cole, I believe, to shore up the defense, and then that happened. So it was nice, but it wasn't like an injury or anything. He was just, he was gassed, you could tell, but also it was just, you know, a tactical sub.
Right. Also, I'm looking at their lineup, and I, you know, didn't really know what to expect, and I'll admit to not being 100% versed on the USL, MLS loan rules and stuff like that. But I almost half expected with a chance to get in the playoffs on the line and the big boys out, at the MLS level, if they might send some of the guys down, especially some of the fringe ones like they did before in the opening season when it was a starting 11 of guys that almost entirely were on their MLS roster. Is that the case? Because I kind of thought they'd do it either to try and you know keep us from locking down a home spot in that game, or to help themselves out, or maybe even to try and just get some attendance at the game by putting some names out there.
The roster freeze happened. I don't think they can.
That could be it.
So I don't think they were allowed to just throw players down, which is a good thing, because if you could do that, you'd have cases, you know, where these B teams, these two teams, would, if their senior squad was out, you can then stack them and then run the table.
They'd have to do a loan probably before the roster freeze and then keep them down there for a little bit. But, I mean, with some of their fringe guys, I mean, has PC played much over there at all?
A red card in his last appearance. He was there.
For diving?
He was at the stadium. I saw him.
Did you get to go to the post game press conference at all?
No. I didn't think they had one. Sue was on the field, and then I had to leave because of the bus.
It might have been because of the just end of the season. They didn't want to do it. But that room, like where you go in when you first check in, that press room, that's where they have it. Is right in there. There's a little stage
and
everything.
I said, can we get one of these at Al Lang? Because I'm tired of sweating my butt off waiting in a hallway.
You can throw those little backgrounds up behind Stu at the table and everything. I was just wanting to see if Orlando's coach was going to complain about Stu's experienced veteran flopping time wasters again.
I don't know. Like I said, I had to get out on the bus. I wanted to go, but I think I might have been, you know, the only one there, so it kind of would have been pointless anyway. I don't recall us flopping at all. But again, I don't remember in the last game either.
Yeah, I didn't see it happen in the first game, but that's apparently all that was going on. So, anyway, man of the match, who do you got?
Man of the match, we're going to give to, let's say, Georgie Ristov for that. Actually, no, I'm going to go Seba. I'm going to go Guinzotti for the
dagger.
Clinching goal, yeah.
I mean, even with the time left, you knew it was kind of done at that point. But I'll admit, when I, because I sat, I got in, it was getting in my car at USF when the first goal was scored. That's how, it's like the effect Rowdy's late goals have on me is I, you know, instantly remember where I am when I'm not watching it. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, 75 minutes. I think we've scored too early here. But then hearing the second one, USL went with, they picked Marcel Schaefer in their recap. I was reading that before Jake had ours posted. Getting another assist, and then it was like an 88% passing completion rate for him. I mean, there's a number of guys you could pick from last night, I would say.
Yeah. The reason why when Georgie scored that the header on the corner, but I didn't bring up show notes. I don't even know if there are. But I was going to talk about how, like, now that the regular season's over, how Marcel Schaefer was our MVP, and, you know, talk about.
I didn't have it in there, and I'll go with. I do have just not much different from last week, but or last show. Yeah, I'll go with Georgie for this, and then absolutely Marcel has without a doubt been the MVP.
He's second in the league currently with 11 assists. He's 15th in the league with 48 chances created, and he's 6th in the league with crosses. And I mean, that's just numbers, but you can watch him and he's everywhere. He, you know, we keep referring to it. Jake wrote up that great article on the bench making the case as well. But there's no doubt about it. If we could give a team golden ball, it's to Marcel Schaefer. I'm sure his leadership in the locker room as well. But he's just that engine driving this team forward in this midfield. He's created some breaks with turnovers in the midfield and quickly transitioning into the attack. We've seen that. His moving him to take the corners has changed. We started scoring off set pieces, if anybody noticed.
You kind of half expect it nowadays.
Yeah, like now I actually get up for corner kicks because I think we might actually score off them. What was that?
If you can just get the ball either towards Neil or Gorski's hair, you know it's got a good chance of going in.
Yeah, Gorski's hair is exactly it. That gorgeous hair. I'm jealous of Hunter Gorski's hair. Anyway, I think he's also in the USL posted an article here, I believe, about like the top five of the top five players in the league. And it said something, I think, that he leads he's tied for the league or in the top four of the league or whatever of goals outside the box and like long range goals. He's just been that. We said it in the past about in the NASL days on this podcast about how the thing missing from this team that has stopped us from getting over that hump was when we lost Luke Mulholland, there was a hole in the midfield.
Yeah.
And Joe Cole, if he was, you know, 6 years younger, might have filled that hole. But Joe Cole's not a spring chicken, and Joe Cole is great, and he is a great addition, and is the, you know, a name and face. But Marcel Schaefer, I think, finally filled that hole.
I just I've never thought of it that way. But someone he's got that attitude. You know, if you give him a yard of space, he's going to make something out of it. It's going to be a solid chance in the net, or it's going to be, I was going to say, he's also leading the league in nets ripping scorchers, the one against Cincinnati, and then the last game that we won at home when he killed the net on that one?
Yeah, I don't remember
who it was. The shot actually blew the opponent out of my head.
Yeah, I mean.
That was Red Bull too, wasn't it?
I think so. I think you might be right. He's just got that rocket of a leg, and he is the missing piece. And you didn't think about it, you didn't realize it because you know Joe Cole. I mean, obviously the Premier League has a higher fan base, I guess, like a higher percentage fan base in America. So Joe Cole was one, and Joe Cole is an English legend. Marcel is a pretty big legend, I would say, over in Germany. People who follow the Bundesliga know Marcel Schaefer, right. Wolfsburg, and whatnot. And he kind of flew under the radar on a team with Joe Cole and then fan favorites like Georgie and whatnot, and Darnell and Matt Pickens. But Marcel Schaefer is, to me, he's just what's driving this team forward. And is the MVP of the season, and he's the missing piece. And we got him for, what, another year or two? 1 year, right?
I think at least 1 year, yeah.
Yeah, so, hopefully we can, you know, these younger guys coming in can are learning from them. This team does feel special. But again, I think Marcel Schaefer is what's going to get us over, has obviously gotten us over the hump with a home playoff game guaranteed, and can take us hopefully deep into the maybe and hopefully get us to the final.
Yeah, right, right. All right. Stat of the match, any one thing stand out in particular?
I'm just going to go with it being Marcel Schaefer's, to stay on theme, his 11th assist of the year.
Okay. All right. There's nothing that really jumps out as that. I mean, you can just say the two goals win. You could say 7 out of 9 points in games versus Orlando this year. Home playoff games guaranteed versus no playoff games guaranteed for Orlando. There's a ton. We'll throw those all out there. All right, so the rest of the field is set as far as who the teams are in both conferences. There's still some positioning going on at the bottom, and even with us potentially in the top four as well. So the current table as of tonight, Louisville, we talked about them, they're solid in first, they're not going anywhere. We are currently in second, have played all of our regular season games. Charleston is third, 2 points behind us with a game at Charlotte coming up this weekend. Rochester is fourth, 3 points behind us, and they are going to play someone else. I can't think of, remember off the top of my head who it is. And it probably doesn't matter because if they win, they match us on points. First tiebreaker is total wins. We'd be tied on that as well. So then it goes to goal difference where we have like a 9-goal lead over them. Oh, they're playing Red Bull, too. They're not beating Red Bull, too, by 9 goals. So,
no.
Not worried about Rochester overtaking us. Charleston with a Charleston has to win on the road in Charlotte. Again, Charlotte, who, you know, they went like 10 wins in a row or 10 games unbeaten, something like that. They were running away with things back in July and August, and they have not won in, I don't know, almost 2 months. They've dropped
down
to
win
fifth
tomorrow.
Right now. Or at least a draw. A draw is good, too. We'll take a draw. A draw gets us second. So a Charlotte win or draw on Saturday would be fantastic. Red Bull 2, and this is where we get into, like, these are going to be your bottom three teams in some way, shape, or form. We're going to play one of these teams. Red Bull 2 is currently sixth with 44 points. I think I mentioned Charlotte's in there at fifth at 48. They could hop. They can't overtake us, but they could hop into fourth, maybe third, depending on the outcome. Red Bull 2, 44 points. Seventh place, Bethlehem Steel, 43. That's who Stu wants. Or Cincinnati at 43 points. We did them a favor. I think Bethlehem and Cincinnati, we did them a favor by our win last night, clinched it for them. Orlando finished, I think, 1 point out. We'll take it.
Can we just, while you're talking about this, can we talk about the Rabbies tweet last night?
So the tweet plus, did you, you know, you get the emails from Nico, right?
Yeah, I didn't actually read the recap yet.
Go read the recap because he throws something in there about them wilting quietly away, and I died.
Let me open that
now. It's near the end of, like, I don't know, like somewhere in the middle of it, right near the end. So the big game to watch this weekend, keep an eye on, Charlotte versus Charleston. Charlotte wins or draws, we are locked into second place. Charleston wins, we're going to be third. And then you can take, if you want to look at the bottom table, see who our opponents are going to be. It'll be one of either Red Bull 2, who we've beaten here, Bethlehem Steel, who we drew here, or Cincinnati, who we beat here once this year and once last year in the Open Cup, depending on the outcome of Charlotte versus Charleston, and then those other three clubs, their final games as well. We'll wait and see what happens. But we'll know, I guess we'll know Saturday. So nice little bit of an advantage is we have a couple extra days off to watch and prepare, get some of these guys rested up. The yellow cards are all reset heading into the playoffs, so we're good. Very excited about that. And then another thing, we mentioned this last week, or last show, I don't want to say last week, it's been like week and a half. The USL Cup, there was some question about whether it was going to be live or shown on delay. Checked around with some people at the league, specifically Mike Watts, who hosts the Sirius XM USL radio show and does some of the commentary for the national games. the game is being played on Monday, November 13th, and it is airing live. So I thought maybe it was a thing where they were going to play it on the weekend, like games should be played, and then airing it live on Monday. That's not the case. So we have solid info on that at least. Did you read the email yet?
Yeah.
Did you see it? Just kind of slips it in there in the middle of a...
whole thing is good. Orlando City B needing a win to remain in postseason contention, never fully clicked into gear despite its desperate situation, wilting away quietly. The home team was outpossessed, outpassed, mustering only two shots on goal. Rowdy's goalkeeper, Matt Pickens, saved both to post his ninth clean sheet of the season and first since September 23rd. Apart from a pair of corner kicks in stoppage time, both of which were cleared by the Rowdies, Orlando City B hardly had a chance at an equalizer. Like, damn.
I wonder if his reference to the home team is a subtle dig at when we were when we went to Orlando and scored the first goal, and their Orlando City B's tweet was visitor's goal, and they wouldn't say they wouldn't say Rowdies, they wouldn't say Tampa Bay. It was just, and they even misspelled visitors, which it was visitors' goal.
Well, Ryan, I think it was somebody sent us the Orlando City B or the Orlando City B, yeah, the Orlando City B tweet from their New York Red Bulls game where there was 9 goals and said what it was like a 6-goal affair or something like
no,
that.
No, it was 11 goals because that was the one that was 6-5 right. And they said we lost a 9-goal shootout.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so math is hard.
Numbers are hard for people. All right. So anything else you want to say about playoffs or the league?
Let's win the league. We want the cup. Yeah. Let's just do this. I want so badly to be celebrating.
All right. The club put out information about buying playoff tickets. Season ticket holders, you have until Monday to buy tickets in order to get your seat, your regular season seat. They're also... and this was kind of like low-key. It kind of went out last week. They're doing season ticket purchases for next year now. The prices are out. Put it down in deposit now. And I think if I read correctly, it locks you in to this year's prices.
Yes.
It looks like there are some increases. So you have until what? Is it December 31st again to put your deposit down?
I think so. I didn't read into it, but let me check.
Or was that last year's again? I can't remember.
But you can call 727-222-2000.
All right.
I only know that because I'm on the site.
Very well done there. We got all the plugs going tonight. It's nice.
Yeah, speaking of, I failed last week due to champagne, but obviously those non-Adidas, they're who? The gloves?
GluPro.
Matt Pickens got another clean sheet in Orlando.
Nice. I think we need to start having a segment called the Glue Pro Save of the Match.
We should. We should just start putting a video up there of like a badass Matt Pickens save.
You know, if they wanted to send us some gloves, I would like wear them while I'm at work. I would teach with these gloves on.
They might be hard for me to do my job, but I would totally. But I mean, we could. Maybe we should work. That's not a bad idea doing a GluPro save of the game if we can get good pictures or a video. I mean, I'm going to try to do more video for us on the sidelines during games for the playoffs and next season.
Right, right.
And we can maybe do something like that. That's not a bad idea. Well, we should get that going.
Ah. Sound like we're creating some sponsorship opportunities here. Hint, hint. All right. So the other we got to talk about how soccer is fun. The other big news going around, and we normally don't do a ton of national stuff, but I don't know. We can't really not talk about this. I don't think. The U.S. Don't have to say it, do we? Like, everyone knows by now. The U.S. is not going to be in the next World Cup. They are not going to Moscow, which, in the long run, just for the sake of human rights and stuff, might not be a bad thing. But in the general idea of progressing the game in this country, not the best idea.
I was really hoping Michael Bradley was going to come back with the P tape.
You'd like him then, wouldn't you?
He'd be my favorite player. But okay, so in all seriousness, Let's see. The World Cup a couple years, well, quite a few cycles ago, is what brought me back into watching soccer and has made me obviously a Rowdies fan now. But I have fallen off the wagon for watching the men's national team for a while. And I think our friend Mel up in Tallahassee, Jackson Woodridge, she's in Tallahassee, has said it best after the Trinidad Tobago game. This team seems to lack heart, yeah, and like fiery passion that the Bradley days that I watched U.S. soccer had. You know, we competed to the death, and we might not have been the most skilled team out there, but we worked and worked until the final whistle. And that seems to have passed in the last couple cycles. I'm not a huge Bob Bradley fan either. He's done good things through his career, but I wasn't a huge fan. I didn't like his style. But you can't tell me a Bob Bradley team quit. So I've kind of stopped. Well, I keep an eye on it, obviously, because I like soccer and I like America. side note, last night, Sudol, after we won, he said something about, like, you know, 2-0 in Orlando, blah, blah, blah. Don't you just love America? And I looked at him and went, I love the Rowdies. I thought he was going to punch me. But no, I mean, I do. I love America. I want us, obviously, to be successful. And I will honestly say I've been a troll about this online. You know, right after, I think I posted a tweet that said I'm ready for Russia with Lewandowski from Poland and whatnot. But this could be extremely detrimental to the game. Ironically, I don't believe that. I think, like I said, I tweeted out my stepfather, who hates soccer and has given me a lot of crap for going to Rowdies games and doing this. He came over to my niece and nephew's birthday talking about us missing the World Cup, asking me questions on why and how do we change it. Yesterday at work, I had it from another, you know, older gentleman customer. He heard it on ESPN, Mike and Mike talking about it. And he was, you know, we got on the subject of that. Like, I didn't talk about, you know, soccer. He was just like, so the U.S. missed the World Cup? And I was like, what? Like, usually you guys are telling me about how, you know, you had your, you know, prostate checked or something. Because that's my life.
It's like watching a baseball game.
Yeah, but we started, like, there's a dialogue happening, and people who don't normally care, I mean, American fans of anything don't like failure, so maybe it can produce a conversation from top to bottom that's going on. I mean, you and I have very many different, or we can sit here and we can have many shows, but we agree a grassroots change has to happen.
Absolutely.
My theory has been, and I think I said it here before, I played soccer growing up. I was coached by my father, who his childhood and his physical, I don't know, what, like, he didn't play a sport. He was a tap dancer. He was on Broadway growing up, and he taught tap dancing. How is he going to teach the next generation of men's national team stuff? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
What talent was wasted by being coached by other people's fathers?
Yeah, by the person willing to get up in the morning to do it. Yeah, and that's, you know, and of course there's a zillion hot takes going around. If we just had promotion and relegation, this wouldn't have happened. Or if U.S. soccer didn't arbitrarily label leagues with division, this wouldn't happen. The reality is, in my opinion, and this is my hot take, is if you go back and look at it, it isn't just that we've missed this World Cup, but go back to the last you know, the Olympics, the Youth World Cups. There's so many places that we failed in recent years, development wise, that you didn't have players ready to bring in to supplement or even replace some of these guys on there. I mean, Pulisic, sure, but that's a once in a generation kind of talent that succeeds despite the limitations. And to me, the problem is, as it always has been, it's the problem of youth development. The pay to play thing, I think, is obviously an issue. The efficiency or the benefits, of, if there are any, of college soccer can be talked about as well. Players coming to MLS in their prime rather than trying to go overseas. But at the same time, where are they going to get playing time? More likely or not. So, I mean, there's a lot of discussions and a lot of things that need to be fixed. What I hate seeing is that everyone's, you know, they've got one silver bullet. If you fire this one person, you change this one thing, then, you know, we'll never lose a game again. And that's not the case. There's no silver bullet. There's just a lot of work to do. And I've been throwing it out there left and right on Twitter when people are asking about it. To me, it's, you know, we need to flood the market almost with youth coaches to drive down the prices, eliminate the idea of pay for play, go into the areas where there aren't leagues and there aren't programs and put something in place. And I don't want to like turn this into an ad for something else, but there's a group of U.S. fans and I, you know, I'm down here with in Sarasota. And it's, you know, it's the Outlaws group, the American Outlaws, that, you know, some people say that's the group that's part of the problem for various reasons. We're looking at and finding a way to use some of the funds that we have, the limited amount that there is. You know, we don't have like a Scrooge McDuck vault, but helping an inner city league that's trying to get started and go in there and help them out and get them off the ground so that those kids can come out and play. And that's the kind of program, that's where the attention needs to go, I think.
I agree. And back to the, I don't want to dive into this because obviously we only have like 10 minutes left.
Right.
And for many, a host of many other reasons, but you can point to me, the pro rail movement, Ryan Sudol is very vocal against it. I am in the middle. I think there's a time and a place, but to think that's a
exactly.
silver bullet, like
exactly.
you said, why isn't England good? Like
yeah.
you can tell me, yeah, well, they qualify, but England is on the decline. You know why? Because pro rail makes your teams like Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea, and it's just get oil baron money, buy the team, and then you're just buying foreign players.
Exactly.
The Netherlands failed to qualify, which is amazing because like Ajax and Dutch teams tend to be the hotbed of international soccer stars if they're not coming from South America.
Mm-hmm.
And even Argentina with Messi had to fight to the last because obviously – so. Germany might be the only place that has it right, but if you look at Germany, yes, there's pro rel. Most of their teams seem to be mostly German players.
Exactly.
So why? So you can't tell me then that MLS is bad if you know, if other leagues that are winning the if countries like Germany, who most players are German, are staying home and playing in their domestic league, are getting better and winning World Cups. Don't. But I just don't think like my if we're going to. England is so obsessed with staying on, you know, is spending a crazy amounts of money so they stay in the first division, and some clubs are even bankrupting themselves to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just, instead of developing your youth talent, and that's where the money needs to go. I mean, I don't care about parity or this pro row. We can have that discussion any other day. Like you said, invest in the youth. Get the youth playing in this country. There's a reason why soccer, I think, is the most played youth sport in this country, and then it just dies off.
Yep.
Well, and it costs it.
Even if you and this was some people are like, well, we got to get it fixed in time for the next World Cup. Number one, I've gone to a bunch of the current U17 games.
We're in good hands, youth wise.
Yeah, they're in the World Cup. They got out of their group. There's some very, very talented kids coming up. But if you don't do something with the youth level now, this will all happen again in the next 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we're at a weird spot because there's a giant dip. The talent pool for this generation is incredibly shallow. That's why you had your Jermaine Jones, your older Clint Dempsey, your older aging out players trying to carry this because there's minimal youth talent because we did screw it up. But also, if you look, they're a little, you know, that generation is a little younger than me and whatnot. Soccer was almost, and I was having this conversation the other day. I'm 33. I would be, you know, I'd be at the end of my cycle, my World Cup cycle. I'd be done. You know, I'm old for soccer. So... Soccer wasn't really on TV I mean, you might get the World Cup final aired on TV. Even MLS was, I grew up, I mean, down here and in New York, I would have had the Metro Stars or the Mutiny, and I don't recall flipping through the channel seeing a game on TV. I went to a couple games.
Yeah. I went to my share of Mutiny games, but yeah, I can't remember ever. Well, I remember, no, I do remember watching one, and I was, but I think I was in like Atlanta, but it was a playoff game.
Right.
I just remember it was on, we're at someone's, some family or friend's house, and they had one of those giant, what passed for a big screen TV back in the 90s with the, you know, it was like 7 feet deep with the giant tube behind it.
Yeah.
And it was really just crappy picture, but big. Watching the Mutiny lose that game, I remember very, very distinctly.
Yeah, and it's just, it was something I was interested in, but I couldn't get into it because, I mean, internet streaming was, dial-up was impossible. It wasn't on TV. But now you have the, you know, you can flip on a Saturday morning, Premier League, Bundesliga, you can stream from across the globe, you could watch, like, I don't know, the Bosnian third division if you wanted to.
Right.
So we're getting more, we're getting adults that are, you know, probably, you know, newer parents, if I ever find a woman stupid enough to settle down, me, educated parents that could, if we needed to step up, we could coach youth soccer, maybe not have certification, but we're educated enough in the game to raise better players that way. So when they get to be, you know, 14 or 12 and they might, the raw talent might be slightly more guided, and we're getting educated fans to change the system grassroots. I fully agree. Yes. Do I believe that, you know, the top needs to go as well? Yes.
Absolutely. Step one today was getting rid of Arena. Step two needs to be Galati going out. At the same time, I think I saw there's one guy who's running against him in the next election, and I don't know jack crap about this guy, but I see a lot of people suddenly putting on capes for him. Because he's not Galati doesn't mean that he's the best possible choice. If there's other people out there and there's time to get interest going or get registered, let's get as wide of a candidate field as we can get.
Yeah, we learned recently what happens when you just vote for the outsider. just don't do it. Yeah. Like sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, and I'm not saying Galati needs to stay because he's got a litany of issues that I don't like, but we need to vet these guys. I don't want, like, and this is just me. This does not reflect Matt, Jake, Pat, Jeff, anybody involved in this.
But
we
it might
need what?
But it might.
It might. We don't need a pro rel zealot either as USF president.
I'll back that up. I'll go with that.
We need somebody with a realistic expectation of where American soccer is and how to move it forward. It's crazy. I mean, we also have the weird, people want to point to, I don't know, Germany and other countries as a roadmap, but we are like 10 times, 5 times their size, right? So the money that needs to be invested when you're competing also against NHL, NFL, MLB, and NBA, so that money isn't crazy, like they don't have unlimited money to cover the entire country. We need to learn how to manage it. We need to learn how to do grassroots soccer here, and I feel like this is oddly political as well, because grassroots movement, anyway, we just need to build it from the ground up. Like I honestly want to coach kids, but as a 33 year old single man, I feel there's a weird thing of like, why would I be around children?
Well, and that, you know, and that was the other thing I kept throwing out there, was that if you're into the game enough to set an alarm to get up to go watch a Premier League game kicking off at 7 a.m. in the bar, maybe take one or two weekends off and start coaching some kids, start working or volunteering with somebody. You know, As far as why, they let me teach kids in school, and I've got a few more years on you, so I think you'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I want to. It's just, you know, that weird thing of like, my kid's not, I don't have a kid to play, right. So why am I getting right. involved? And
you love your country, damn it.
I love the sport. I love my country. And so I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of ways to fix and bring American soccer into the future. But like many other issues we're having in this country, we need to sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah. And hire a real technical director.
Yeah, I think the country in many ways could use a new technical director.
Someone to at least coordinate what's going on between the youth teams and the senior team. You know, someone who has longer staying power than coaches who change, you know, after a cycle or two in the World Cup. Some kind of architect. Which, you know, and that's, you know, I don't mind a Sunil type running the federation because the money and the sponsorships and things like the business stuff that he did, but have someone else on the soccer side. That, I mean, I don't know Sunil's qualifications other than maybe he played FIFA a couple times.
No, I mean, he doesn't. Okay. Like you said, if we can establish some sort of technical director ambassador type deal that can coordinate youth teams to, like you said, hire coaches top to bottom, and the president of the federation just deals with sponsorship deals and money and accounting and the business side, I think that would alleviate a lot.
And this is why, you know, people were someone mentioned it and I retweeted it and someone, you know, came back at me with, you know, come on, like I must be joking. But the whole idea of someone threw Julie Foudy's name out there, I mean, number one, you've got someone who has won at the highest level in their competition. You've got someone who has connections with these broadcasters because with her time with ESPN, I don't know if she's been on Fox as well too, but and knows the soccer community. Like, you know, she shouldn't be the one out there, you know, coaching the team or you know, picking the lineup. But having her running the federation, I mean, maybe I've never seen her coach before, but someone like that in overall charge, and then a technical director running, you know, kind of coordinating between the men's team and the youth teams, and while work is being done at the bottom levels, and you know, smoothing the ziggurat out into an actual pyramid, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, we could have a male and female. I mean, because women's soccer is shaky at best now, too. You could have a male technical director, the men's national team technical director, and a female. And this way we can build both, you know? I don't know. I mean, Julie Foudy, I don't get why people would shoot that down. Like, why not? I mean, played at the highest level.
I mean, she shot it
possible.
Down, so it's all over. But I think that kind of person is a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be her specifically, but if it was a woman, like if you told me Mia Hamm was going to, good. I mean, these people have played at the highest level. They can identify talent. They know what it takes.
Right.
That's where it's hard, right? Like, we have discussions now as watching soccer about, I can probably say right now that I think Michael Bradley is not that great. My phone will probably blow up about how I'm dumb, right?
Right.
Because
it has before.
Yeah, it's subjective. So, and that these are with fully developed, I would say Michael Bradley is probably about to start his decline. I don't remember how old he is off the top of my head, but he's not, you know, he might have another year, two or three that are fine, but his decline's going to start. Imagine trying to scout kids.
Exactly. And having no idea where, because you've got to basically say what, you know, the younger you look at, what are they going to be like in 2 years? And then from there, 2 years after that. And then, you know, you start to get into the teenage years. How are they going to develop mentally and physically?
Right, are they going to Freddy do it?
Exactly.
So it's just, I mean, it's a roll of the dice. And then making sure
someone that doesn't Freddy Adu, you know, because Freddy obviously made some mistakes, but he had some, he didn't have the best situation around him either.
No. And that's exactly it. Like, there's so much that goes into it. And I mean, the NCAA is a problem. This was one of my issues when I was talking to my stepfather. I was like, you could probably say Major League Baseball prime age is 28. If you're playing the NFL, you know, 25, 26 is when you finally grow into your body. same with the NHL, maybe like 23, 24. You know, we grow, men grow into their bodies. They feel out there at their peak physical right. performance, whatever. Soccer is young. Like, it's probably, you know, your early 20s. And when you're, by the time you're like 28, 29, you're, get it, you're on that downward slide, right? Like,
yep.
I mean, Marcel Schaefer is 33 and he's looking to hang him up in a year or two. So we're losing a lot of prime, like player prime, by having to go through the NCAA BS.
Right. Meanwhile, the U.S. national team had, what, 6, 7 guys on the roster who were 30 and over?
Yeah. I mean, look at Christian Pulisic. He's 19 and he's an international star. He's a star for one of the most recognizable teams in Germany. And, you know, Jordan Morris is what, 24, 25?
Somewhere in there. And
he's our big prospect because of what he did. And it was a huge deal because we called him out and he played in college. So we're losing prime time of getting experience in these players being in their prime.
Yeah, I mean, now look at, will Jordan Morris ever play in a World Cup?
Probably not.
The next one, if we qualify for 2022, which I expect that we will, is 5 years out. He's going to be pushing right there at 30. Like, if we're still putting, you know, near 30-year-olds in the lineup, especially as starters, that's a problem. You know, Pulisic's going to be in his mid-20s, and I think he'll still be good. He might be, you know, kind of in the middle of his prime at that point.
He'll be better.
But, you know, there's a lot of time between then and now that's not, he's not going to be tested as he could have at the international level. They've got to come up with something in for the next, you know, couple years to keep the development and keep the intensity and the everything up on these guys and start replacing the guys. Because, you know, there's a set of friendlies in November, and then after that, you might not see Clint Dempsey again. You might not see Tim Howard again. You might not see Josie Altidore. I'd like to see Dempsey get the goal and at least go, the all-time goals lead on Donovan. He didn't do that yet, did he? He's tied, but he hasn't broken it.
I think he just needs to leave it tied.
Nah, break it. Send Landon back to the water fountain. Break it.
Oh, I mean, I don't care on that front, but I mean, get these guys. Like, I think these friendlies coming up, just play youth. Just play the youth.
I mean, this might turn into a set of testimonials for half the club. I mean, for half the roster.
That's fine with me. Do it.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyway, we could go on for this for hours, but Radio St. Pete would probably like their station back at some point.
Yeah. And it's funny because we could have done. It's in the summer. Never mind. We couldn't. Okay. Yeah. Let's wrap this up.
All right. We love yous. Everybody who went to the game last night, and by that, yes, I mean Rowdy's fans, because they're the only ones who went.
Yeah, I'm true. Let's see. Do I have any? John Silva is getting one for reasons for being a savior on the bus. DePinto as well. Issa does not get one because she's the reason I needed a savior. Let's see. Nico. Nico gets one. He's a good guy. The Rowdies fans and the Rowdies. I was going to, I mean, since we're running late already, but I was going to get all sentimental, but I won't do that. So I love everybody that is that's Rowdies fans, part of the Rowdies front office, and satellite people.
I'm going to throw one more out there for specifically out of the front office, Mike Manganiello. Go look him up on Twitter at Mike Manganiello. It's spelled like it sounds. He's running an auction right now on eBay. There's about a week left. Mike has a friend who was was hurt pretty bad in the shootings in Vegas. And he's auctioning off. He got an England jersey. Joe Cole signed it. It's not like one that Joe Cole wore in a game or anything, but it's an England jersey that Joe Cole signed. He's got photographic proof if you don't take our vouching for him for it. And every cent that he raises from that is going to go to her medical costs, which are significant. So there's a week left. I'm trying to get as many, you know, people to out there, trying to get this to people to retweet it and post it, to check it out. Help him, because he's a friend and she's a friend of his, and so that makes us friends. So shout out to him for doing that, and shout out to Joe as well. All right, so we have our Patreon still going. You can sign up for that, patreon.com/unusedsubspod. Since I didn't win any money at the casino last night and Bill refuses to rig the Rowdy's Riches for us, if you'd like to help us out that way, you can. If you'd
I
like to watch
getting programs.
I keep grabbing extras, like after the game, whatever's left. If you do want to watch the Bosnian Third Division, we have a link on our website that hook you up with Fubo, live legal streaming that you can put it on your TV. They've got apps on different, some of the different streaming things. You can put it on Chromecast and watch the Bosnian Third Division to your heart's content. They also have do like NFL and baseball and stuff too, if you're into those weird niche sports. You can check those out. We do have some scars left. I'm going to check after the game to see how many and update our inventory on Facebook. We have some new stickers in, and I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do with those. We're going to keep some for ourselves and spread some out to other people, but we may have more of those in the future. If you'd like one of those too, we can work something out. Give us a rating and review wherever you listen to this. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever. And thanks as always to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, who had a nice crowd there last night watching the game, and Big Storm, who we will hopefully be doing some more stuff with in the future. And if they're listening, that probably comes as news to them. But we definitely would like to, because they're cool guys and girls and everything else. And that, as they say, is that. Anything else? Any last words?
Am I dying? No. thank you, guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Come on, you Rowdies.
All right, we'll see you. We'll do a show before next week's playoff game. Maybe we can get some research on the opponents done, maybe get some people in to talk about it, and then we will go from there. All right, this has been the Unused Substitutes, and we'll see you. If I can get the song to play here. There we go. Hang on. I had like a...